Well, you ever heard of the term fool for Christ? Well, you might just be looking at one right now. Appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers. I do have something on my heart, actually, and I pray the Lord would help me to present it in a way that would be pleasing to Him and that would edify us today. I do appreciate the meeting, and I have appreciated it. I felt like the Lord is blessed throughout the meeting, and I have gained some thoughts and insights throughout the meeting that have helped me and strengthened me and enabled me to grow a little bit through the meeting. Something that's kind of come to my heart today is John chapter 13. And it's the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. But before we do that, let's go to Luke 22 to kind of set it up a little bit. In Luke 22, starting at verse 17, it says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you.'" So here we have the ordinance of the body and the blood of Jesus, and they're partaking in the Passover supper. And let's read a little further. "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." So here they are in the upper room having the Lord's Supper or having Passover with Jesus. And he makes this statement of one betraying him. And then let's go on a little further. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve.'" So what I draw to our attention today is that when they were up there in that upper room and they were having their Passover supper together, and Jesus was giving them the ordinance of breaking of the bread and partaking of the blood of Jesus, it says that in that setting they were arguing amongst themselves about who was to be the greatest. And it reminds me of the time when I think it was the sons of Zebedee, their mom went to Jesus and said, "I want my sons to sit one on your right hand and one on the left." You know, she was seeking out the highest position for her children. And I mean, it kind of makes sense to us. You know, I think people in general want their children to be successful. They want them to succeed in life, if you will. And so to her, that was the ultimate success for them to be sitting one on the right and one upon the left of Jesus. And I want to say that the disciples thought the same thing. And I believe it even said that they were angered by them, even attempting to ask that, you know, probably because they didn't get to ask for it first, you know, or maybe they thought that they should be in that place. And so there was a debate among themselves about who was going to be the greatest or the most important, or it was a highly esteemed place to be. And I mean, every one of us would want to be at the side of Jesus, right? I mean, you would think that that was an appropriate desire for them to have, really, to be in the kingdom and to be as near Jesus as they could be. But so that is the setting. Now let's go to John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, so supper being ended, right? They've just had their supper, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. So I want us to pay attention a little bit to that. It says that Jesus knew who he was. And he knew that God had given all things into his hands. So essentially, you could say that he knew that he was in the chiefest position, the chiefest place, if you will. All things were given into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. This is what he does. Jesus, knowing all this about himself, it says he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? So when Peter questions what Jesus is doing, he's giving us a little bit of an insight as to how inappropriate this was for Jesus to put himself in this position. He was, as it was said, knowing that the Father had put in all things into his hands. The place that Jesus was in, he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Deliverer. And he's going to succumb to the lowliest position and wash the dirty feet of his disciples. Peter was shocked to think that Jesus would even think to do such a thing. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. You know, I don't know, maybe it's just my way of interpreting it or my way of seeing it, but I don't see that as being a little gentle statement that Peter made there. I kind of picture Peter being a little bit boisterous in the way he spoke. And I can totally see him saying, you will never wash my feet. And saying it with such emphasis and passion, if you will, that Jesus is not going to stoop to that level. If anybody's going to wash somebody's feet, it's going to be me washing your feet, not you washing my feet. And I'm sorry that I didn't stand up early enough and get down and wash your feet and wash everybody else's feet before you went about to get on your hands and knees to wash our feet. I kind of just imagine Peter's thoughts going on through his head, that saying that this is not right. Our Lord, our Savior, our Master, Rabbi, you know, put whatever title you want to it, It's not right that you would kneel down and wash our feet. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Do you know what I have just done to you? Do we know what Jesus just represented or what he showed to them? He said, you call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. The servant is not greater than his Lord. You know, I think about what Jesus did, and obviously he represented himself as one who serves rather than the one who's being served. And he says, who is greater, the one that sits at meat or the one that serves? Obviously, we would say, well, obviously the one that sits at meat is the one that's the greatest, that's being catered to taken care of, if you will. But my question for us today is, who are we? Which one are we? Are we the one that sits at meat? Or are we the one that serves? You know, the Lord didn't say it was for a select few of the disciples. Like, he didn't just call Peter and James and John, the ones who were the inner circle that were always there. You know, when Jesus went about to pray in the garden, it says that those three were there. And there was other instances where those three were set apart from the rest, in a sense, and maybe had, you know, were drawing nearer to Jesus, maybe a little bit more than rest, but every one of them was to be this. He said, do unto each other as I have done unto you. Each one of them had the same responsibility of service to one another. Every one of us is to be the servant that Jesus represented to each other. And that none of us is really the one that sits and is served. But every one of us, in one form or another, is that servant. And that is what the Lord wanted it to be like, is for us to serve one another. Let's go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20 and 20. This is what we spoke about earlier. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, with her and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? You want to be in that place? You want to partake? And you want that place? Then there's a cup that you need to drink of. And he asks, are you able to drink of this cup that I drink of? So it's like saying, are you able to identify with me? Are you able to be as I am? We are to be as Christ in the world. He was persecuted and suffered for the sake of the call that was upon his life. And you may have to do that as well. Are you ready to drink the cup? Are you willing and ready to drink the cup of service to others? And they said, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall indeed drink of my cup. You're going to drink of the cup. And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Lord has called us to serve. Just as he said that he came not to be served, but to serve. Our call in Christ is not to be served, but to serve. And, you know, I think of the scripture where it says, be not weary in well-doing. You know why he says that? Because it can happen. You can get weary in well-doing. You know, sometimes you can go about and think that maybe you're the only one working, or you're the only one that sees the needs that are being done and are participating and getting those needs done. And it seems like everybody else is just partaking and all this work is going on, and you can start getting weary in your well-doing. And, you know, something else that came to mind was that Jesus told Peter, he says, I want you, first he says, do you love me, Peter? And he says, yes, Lord, I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Be a servant, Peter. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Well, he does that, and he goes through that whole scenario with Peter, and he's basically calling Peter to be a servant unto him. And then what does Peter want to know? What about this brother? What's he going to do? Right? We can get to a point where we're worried about what everybody else is going to do. We got all kinds of work that needs to be done. There's all kinds of things that need to be done around here. The harvest is ripe for harvest. There's work to be done. There's souls that need to be delivered. There's all this stuff that needs to be done. And what's John going to do? Right? What's Mark going to do? What are these other brothers going to do? And Jesus says, don't worry about that. Do what I've asked you to do. I'm asking you to serve. I'm asking you to be a servant. And yes, they have their own service to provide, but that's between me and them. You can't allow that to dictate or influence your service. You can't allow that to make you weary in well-doing. We've got to press and just continue to serve. Continue to do what it is that the Lord has called us to do. He served until the end. He said he loved them until the end, and he died for them. His service went all the way unto death. And why would we think that our service is going to fall somewhere short of that? Our service is going to go on into death as well. And there may come times in your life where it seems like everything is being heaped on. And it's becoming more and more and more. But that's what we're called to do. Jesus Christ came and served And it's our duty and our responsibility to serve as well. And it's very easy to get caught up in our own minds and our own thoughts about what other people are doing and what it seems like they are getting away with or how easy they have it maybe. And you think, why, Lord, do I have all this responsibility? And so many others seem to, they don't have any responsibility at all. We can get in that mindset in our minds, but that's an enemy to our souls. That's going to draw us away from our own service into the Lord. It's going to cause us to be weary in well-doing, and it may even get a person to not do anything at all. And get them to thinking, well, I'm just going to sit here and let them serve. I'm going to help them out. I'm going to help them be a servant. And I'm going to sit on my hands and wait for them to serve. Is that what the Lord wants us to do? Is it our job to teach one another that way? You know, that's something the children do to one another. You know, I'm going to teach them. I'm not going to talk to them or whatever they do. I believe that that's a work of the enemy to try to get us to not serve or to be a servant. Something that came to mind to me as well is the scripture. Maybe someone can help me know where it's at, but where it talks about the unprofitable servant. It says that servant went out and worked all day, and he comes home and he says, does that servant, when he comes home, does his master say, well, go on and sit down and eat, and then I'll eat after you? Because since you worked all day and you worked so hard today, you go on ahead and eat first, and then I'll eat after you. No. It says when you can serve me, and then when you're done serving me, then you can eat. And I think about that as it's the unprofitable servant. He's just doing that which is his duty to do. And, you know, you look at that and you hear that, and it can sound kind of cruel, really. I mean, I don't know about you all, but I look at that, and when I read that, I think, wow, that's a little bit cruel, you know. But the truth of it is that's what we are. We're unprofitable servants in that regard, in the sense that is we're just doing what it is our duty to do. And we don't always have to see the results of what we're doing. And I know that's a difficult one to receive as well, because we want to essentially be paid for what we're doing. Or we want to at least know that what we're doing means something. I think of part of the message last night, I believe Brother Carl mentioned a man that went to an empty room and preached a message. Thank the Lord. The Lord allowed him to see the fruit of that later on. But he could have went his way and never got to see that had any purpose or meaning at all. And you know that would have been okay? Because he's an unprofitable servant. We're doing that which is our duty to do. The Lord did so much for us. You could say that he essentially got down on his hands and knees and washed your dirty feet and wiped them with the towel that was girding him. He served you to that point and beyond. He died on a cross, shed his blood so that you can be delivered and freed and have the freedom that you enjoy, the life that you enjoy right now in Christ was because of that. The life that you enjoy in Christ is because he was willing to be a servant unto you. And how can we do less than that? He asked us to serve one another. And that is what our duty is to do, is to serve one another. And I know that it could get weary sometimes. If you allow the devil to talk to you too much. But you know that it really is not weary. It really is not. If you really sit down and think about it, it is a joy to be able to serve the Lord. You know, I look back at a time in my life where it was very real to me what God did for me. And the deliverance that He gave to me. The freedom in my soul, the peace that I had in a place or an environment where I should not have had peace. I should not have had joy. I should not have had comfort of heart. But the Lord gave me all those things in the place that I was in. He didn't give them to me just as soon as I hit the gates that I all of a sudden got blessed. No, He blessed me where I was at for a long time. And I would have loved to have been freed of that, but I had to admit to those that I was around that even in that environment, my life was much better than it had ever been before. And it sounds strange to people, and you know, that they would wonder at it, like we heard earlier too, but it was the facts. I could say that with sincerity of heart, that my life was better serving God in that environment than it was without God and not in that environment. And I don't know how to explain how that's true. You know, how the Lord does that, how He gives us peace and joy and contentment in environments like that. But He can do it. And if you don't have that right now, and you don't really have that peace and that contentment and that joy in your heart, and I'm telling you, the Lord can deliver you. But my heart's desire was to serve God because of what He had done for me. Because of all that He had done for me, it made me want to serve Him. I wanted to do whatever I could to serve the Lord and to be useful in His kingdom. It wasn't about wanting to be on a high place, because it did put me in a spotlight, and it wasn't a good spotlight. You know, what the Lord was having me to do was not one of those things where, oh, great, look at what all the things that He's doing. No, it was actually more of the opposite of that. What the Lord was asking me to do wasn't really popular to do. And in some cases, it wasn't really allowed for me to do it. But the Lord blessed me, and He overshadowed me with His protection and care, and He blessed my life in service to Him. And there was a time where I felt like, Lord, if You would, I had a longing. You could say a longing to be able to serve God in the environment where I was prior to prison, basically. I lived a horrible life prior to prison, and I didn't want it to end that way. I wanted to be able to go back into that environment and live a life that was pleasing to God and service to Him, and that would be a testimony to Him. And it wasn't to try to lift myself up or anything like that. I wasn't really thinking about it like that. It just felt like it was something that would be good and appropriate, and it was a goal, I guess you could say. And there was no guarantee that I would get that. And there was actually times in my life where I thought maybe the Lord was going to say no to it. And I had to consecrate to that. And I had to say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. If this is the call that You have for me to serve in this environment, then help me. Give me grace. And let me rest in it. And abide in it. And like I said, it wasn't like I was without joy or peace or contentment. The Lord could give me all that in the environment I was in. And I would have lacked some things, but so what? None of us has everything. We all have lacks one way or another. And so that would have been okay. But the Lord allowed me to be out here. He gave me that opportunity. And I wasn't really planning on saying this. But I was in Fresno, and the Lord was working on me in the meeting there. And I found an article, like a, I guess it would have been a blanket of some type or a quilt, all folded up, and it was stuffed in the top of a closet somewhere in the back of the chapel. And I don't know what, I guess I would just have to say the Lord put it on me and said, what is this thing doing stashed in the closet way back here in the dust and the spider webs and all that? And it started coming to my mind, you know, this quilt here could have very well been a quilt that my grandmother made to give to the church to be used. It was her gift, her work for the Lord. And here it is, stashed up here in a closet somewhere, gathering dust, and spiders are eating on it or whatever. And, I mean, you can just imagine. It was kind of stirring up, you know, like, wow, this is not right. This is not right. And so we get to the service, and the brother's talking about, you know, the talents. The brother in the service preaches a message on the talents and about the one that stashed his, dug a hole and didn't want to use it. He was worried about all kinds of things. And you know what the Lord told me? He said, that's you. What are you doing? This was maybe, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years after I was out. You know, I had done a lot while I was in, but somehow when I came out and I was in a different environment, different people, I mean, way different, to be completely honest. I didn't know where I fit. I didn't know what I had to give. But, you know, the Lord said, that's you. You're all upset about this quilt that's up here in the closet, hidden away, and thinking that it's an injustice that somebody's gift to the church, or so to speak, is not being valued and not being used. What are you doing? It was like Nathan telling David, "You are the man." That was what the Lord did to me. He said, you are the man. You're the one that's stashing this thing up in the closet. You're the one that's letting dust get all over it. You're the one that's letting the spiders eat on it and all that. It's you. You want to have indignation about it? You want to be all worried about it and upset about it? It's you. What are you going to do about it? And the Lord spoke to me after that, I would guess maybe that evening. And I woke up in the morning, and he spoke to me the scriptures that he spoke to Peter. He said, do you love me? He's telling me the same thing that he told Peter. He said, do you love me? And what am I going to say? I said the same thing Peter said. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And I believe that the way I said it to the Lord was the same way Peter said it to the Lord. And it was like, yes, I love you, but it feels like I feel like it's short. I don't feel like it's to the point it could be. I don't feel like it's full to where it ought to be. But yes, Lord, I love you. And he says, well, I want you to feed my sheep. And then he tells me again, Do you love me? And it was like the Lord was telling me, you need to pour your heart into this. You need to give yourself to it. If you love me, don't worry about the lack. Don't worry about where you feel like it's at. But recognize it and give yourself to it and allow me to fill you up. Allow me to use you. Allow me to have your life. That you might serve me. And it doesn't matter if anybody ever appreciates it. It doesn't matter if anybody recognizes it. It doesn't matter if you get to see a result from the work that you do in service to God. It doesn't matter if anybody ever says, hey, well done, good job. And I know that every one of us wants to hear that a little bit sometimes, to know that what we're doing has value to others. But I'm here to tell you that that's not what it's about. You can very much be an unprofitable servant before the Lord, and that's okay. Because the Lord is telling you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's telling you that. And that is enough. The Lord wants every one of us to serve. And it's not, and I'm not here trying to tell you that every one of us is supposed to be behind this pulpit. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's a servant. And it's not to put Brother Gary on blast. He's probably asleep right now anyways. But it's just, he's a servant. That's why he's tired. Because he's up at midnight serving. And it's what the Lord would have every one of us do. To serve one another. And not to be weary in well-doing. And I'll tell you, you won't regret it. There may come times in your life where you feel a little weary. And you're wondering, Lord, is this having any impact at all? Is this being beneficial at all? But I'll tell you, just let the Lord worry about that. Because there's a great amount of benefit in doing service for the Lord, if for nothing else, then it be for the Lord. And so I want to serve the Lord. I want to do it with the best of my ability, and I want to do all that He would have me to do. I don't have to have it be just one little aspect of my life. If He wants to have my whole life, He can have my whole life. If He wants to turn my life upside down, He can do that. And it might affect a lot of people. It would certainly affect my family. But I'm here to tell you that if He wants to flip my life upside down, He can do that. And by the grace of God, I'm going to say, amen, Lord, do it. Whatever you want to do. Because I am an unprofitable servant for you. I owe you this. I owe it to Him. And it's not a begrudgingly owe. I'm thankful for what He's done. And I want to serve the Lord. Pray for me.